Welcome.
Hi, welcome, and thank you for tuning in on Yachting International Radio. My name is Eveliana Veldkamp, and you are listening to Maritime Unity, the podcast where we talk about inclusion and safety, and how the true meaning of it can change the world that we live in. Today we will talk with Tineke Zoet about the price of well-being. Hi Tineke, Sona.
Hey Eva.
And thank you for being on the podcast show with us today. So before we start, can you please quickly introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Tineke. I am Dutch and living in Scotland, in Glasgow. I'm an ex-miner, merchant navy seafarer, and I work with sensitive leaders and highly sensitive people and empaths in challenging work conditions. And my motto is where differences become strength. So that applies to teams as well, and inclusive leadership and teams. So yeah, that's short.
Yeah, and it very much resonates with what we are always talking about on this podcast show. So thank you so much for being here today. I have to say beforehand that this is going to be a short and quick podcast episode.
Mini podcast.
Yeah. But I was hoping that you will come back on the show one day, because you're just an amazing person and we have so much to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.
So thank you so much. And so for today, we really want to dive a little bit into the price of well-being. And we talked beforehand on this topic already a little bit, and I think it's good to introduce this topic to the audience. Because what I noticed for sure is that it's sometimes so difficult to have a balance between money and value and being in welfare on the other side. So it seems sometimes that companies would like to invest in things as long as it's preventive or it's good for their image or something of value comes up. So would you like to dive a little bit deeper into this right away?
Oh, yes. Too bad it's just a short podcast, because there's lots to say about it. I've worked with e-learning and for companies writing and offering e-learning material for seafarers, and being one myself and working in the maritime industry for so long, we've seen so much about health, seafarer health, just in general. Health and well-being was already very important and established especially for mariners. Before it became a buzzword, I have the idea that since a few years, it's been more noted, more important. You have, of course, the happiness index for seafarers, and you have that for companies as well outside the maritime industry. And so the well-being last few years have been linked to safety environments as well. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe we should link the well-being of people to the safety of the company, of the environment, of safe environment. And I hope I make sense in that, as saying that it's always since that time that it's been picked up as importance. So does that mean that the companies do it for the higher interest of the mental health of their people, of their employees? Or is it because they do it because there's something in it for them? Hey, wait a minute. We can prove statistically human accidents occur more often when they are mentally challenged and there's an unhealthy work culture. So maybe we should do something about that other than in our top tier leadership environments. We should do it for the whole employee network, because we can prove statistically it will be better and beneficial for the outcome of our company and profitable for the company.
Yeah, exactly. So you narrowed it down pretty good, I think. And it would be nice to explain maybe a little bit wider the difference between the differences that we observe, because we talked about it this before. And also you can recognize some things. It seems since the group that I set up before and who raised awareness on the importance of psychological safety in the International Maritime Organization, the IMO. Since we did that, there's much more awareness of, so people recognize what's going wrong. So what is the outcome of an unsafe working environment? So, for example, you can see that people now recognize bullying and sexual assault and harassment taking place, abuse, depression, suicide, seafarer abandonment, that these are so difficult problems that we are facing. And I think that this is like the first step to recognize what's actually outcome of an unsafe environment. And then, so when you lay that on the table without the victim and blaming dynamics, so this is also important, because otherwise you make somebody like owner of the problem, so to say. So you say, yeah, but this group is just the victim. So then you're in this dynamics, and then you're not coming out of it. And also you don't find a real solution when you stay stuck in that dynamics. So when you just lay it on the table and can see how ugly it is and what actually happens, then you can also feel a little bit more into it. So you can see, oh yeah, that's actually hurtful. But then then we're on the point where we're talking about today, I think, because what then is a possibility is that you are then searching for a solution. So one thing you can do, and that happened, is just make a guideline to say, okay, if you don't do this and this, like another tick box, then you prevent bullying, for example. So if you do this and this and this and this, then there's no bullying taking place. So you're just looking at the symptoms, and you're tick boxing all the symptoms somehow. And I think this is a way of doing it, so that you have a book or a guideline on what not to do. But then you totally ignore what's really needed, because what's really needed is to be safe and present. And this is a very dynamic process. And also it has a price, right? It costs a lot of investing, not only money, but also energy. It costs real presence of yourself as a human being inside of the company. Yes. And then you can work on the well-being of yourself and of the people you work with directly in your own life, in your own relationships, and for the company that you represent, or for maybe for the country that you represent, or for the whole group that you, and then you can let it grow like that. I think that's what we're looking for, right? So this is to come back to the first topic, because we were both wondering, why would companies not invest in things like this? But I think when I heard you say, when you look at the statistics, you have proof of evidence of what it will give you, what value it will have on the other side of the balance line. I think this is not possible, right? Because, do you know what I mean?
It is a hard topic, because you have on one end, okay, there are statistics that is linked to the human elements and accidents, that 90% of accidents happen due to human failure somewhere down the line. And if you are an unhappy teen, you are more prone to issues and accidents. That's as simple as you can get it. Nobody likes a quick turnaround of people. There's always an alarm bell if people get sick. And that's one of the few questions I would ask during a job interview. Why am I needed? Why did I leave? Or what's happening? And you talk to people. But then you have not just a culture shift that you need for people who have to get safe environment, which you're talking about bullying and like all these problems at work, that it's a culture, not just a culture shift, but a whole human perspective shift into that. The ego, and we are as humans programmed that to have this individualism, fighting off to be the best and the bigger and the better. And we are this group herding, like we tend to go group with the strongest work. That is being bullied in on board myself as a young, very young woman, that people are afraid to speak up. They see the bullying and they individually tell you, I'm not okay with it and I'm sorry that happens to you. But in the bigger group, they're afraid to speak up because of the consequence. And you see that it's not just a work culture. It happens everywhere. So to change that mindset of only together, we are stronger and happier and we can be more successful. It's a click, not just cultural. It's massive to change that kind of perspective everywhere. But you can follow a tick box exercise and force the company to, as a leaders, to train them to recognize the bullying and mental health. But if they don't feel it inside, the need for it, or they do it just because it makes them look good, it's missing the point, because you empathetic leadership. I'm not quite sure. You cannot just follow a tick box exercise on that. You need a perspective change. And you need to, it works in the higher realm of the company, in place them in the culture. If you place a really empathic, sensitive leader in a company that is toxic, or doesn't really only push you for figures and outcomes, and there's really that kind of dynamic, within a year, they will be probably burnout and very anxious, or they are going to go to the other side and bully people because they feel pressures.
Yeah.
So to solve that is not an easy problem. It needs to come, it needs to be filtered in through the whole company. You cannot just have that conversation with one or two persons, or just a management perspective. It needs to be everywhere. Every single person in the company that you have that with, through resource management, needs to feel safe to stand up against intolerable behavior of other people. But people don't do that because they are afraid of what happens to them. And that kind of blame culture needs to be, is linked as well. So it's not just...
No, and it shows also that where the safety lies, because why are people afraid? Being afraid or feeling fear is only like a flag waving to get your attention to somebody, something that is not safe. Because if it's not safe, you are afraid. This is just a logical consequence, right? So if you feel afraid, it means that there's something in your environment that makes you feel afraid. So that is unsafe. So what you just said really very much makes sense. And I hope that people can understand it. If not, or if you want to know something else, please leave a comment below, because we're more than happy to dive into this.
Yeah.
I think to break it down just really quickly, I think the first step is to be yourself, be inside of your own body, be present in this moment in time, in yourself.
Good one.
Then the second step is to feel safe. So also you should recognize what you need to feel safe. You have to know yourself. You have to be able to talk about it. This is what I need. Also listening to other people, because if you have to work together with other people, it's also very important to know what they need to feel safe, right?
Yes.
Then if you maintain this safe basis out, it's very dynamic. So it can change like all the time. So you have to keep communication about this. Then if you maintain this safety, then you can go out of the blame victim dynamics by just opening up your consciousness a little bit together. And then you can just look at what you're facing and solve problems together.
Yes.
Then you can stay connected and work on what's needed. Yeah. Take real actions to what's needed, to what you're working on or working towards as an organization. And I think that's the price of well-being, right?
Yes, that's the price of well-being. But there's a double whammy meanings in it, because the price of well-being is, of course, for yourself. You go with the flow and you go with that culture and it doesn't feel right. It's not just the price you pay for your own health, but also for the health of your team and everybody who is connected to you. It's like we're all connected. So that's a big price to pay. Yeah,
it is. So just to conclude, thank you so much. And this very much breaks it down. As a closing out, I want to ask you this question, and I'm asking this to all the guests on my show, actually. I'm making a podcast here on Yachting International Radio because my biggest wish is for all to see and recognize the human kindness within ourselves and the other.
Yes.
So my question to you is, what makes you feel human and a part of humankind?
Ooh, that's a good, lovely question. As an empath, I do empath coaching as well. Of course, I feel emotions of other people as if it were my own. So this was, as I feel connected to other people, that's, we're not just individual. We are, our thinking and everything resonates in a vibration outside of us. So we're affecting and having an impact on other people. So to feel other people's emotions, that makes me feel human and know that we're all one and the same. That's what I feel. Yeah.
I think one.
An answer?
Yeah, Yeah, of course, of course. So thank you so much for this wonderful, episode and reply. And it was wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks for all the listeners also for your time and for listening. I hope you learned a little bit about inclusion and safety. Feel free to share this if you did. And before we say goodbye, please remember to be grateful to the earth and open to the universe. That seems.
That's the episode.